Hallelujah. Every praise is to our God. Amen. Not some other fake, phony God that doesn't have anything to do with people. Praise the Lord. You know, it's sad when people get their eyes off of God. You know, how many of you found out that people make a horrible God to follow? Right? And that would include preachers. That would include any other person. We all make horrible gods, but we don't have to look at us. We have to look at the one true God from the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And He is faithful and He's good. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a word. We ask everybody over at the church in Broken Arrow this morning, be praying for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. This is their time every year after camp meeting. They take a couple weeks off. And so be praying for them for refreshing. I would suggest that, in fact, turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Of course, you can pray for Ephesians 1 too, but that in Ephesians chapter 3. So that means this. That also means this. I'll be here again next week. Now, you're going to be happy about that or sad, but nothing you can do about it. I'm going to be here. Amen. So filling in for them. So, okay. But that in Ephesians 3, this prayer here, this is a good prayer we could pray for them. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth and heaven is named, that He would grant you. Well, we could put this, you can pray for the Christians, that He would grant Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in their inner man, that Christ may dwell in Pastor and Mrs. Hagen's heart by faith, that Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that Pastor and Mrs. Hagen might be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Now to Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in us, and to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. World without, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That brings me back to my Methodist church I grew up in. One of the pastors, I can't remember, he always would say that. World without end. It was like, woo. When you're a little kid, you know. And it was, how many of you grew up in a church that said, amen? Amen. You always been amen? We were amen in the church I grew up in. Praise the Lord. And I don't know about that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to talk tonight about something that, you know, is fundamental to the message that we preach, and I think is central to the Bible. In fact, there's almost every New Testament book talks about that, this, and that is Jesus is coming again. Amen? Amen. Jesus is coming again. And so we want to run some scriptures tonight. But I want to read you, first of all, from the Rhema Bible Church Statement of Faith says this, the resurrection of the just and the return of the Lord. The angel said to Jesus' disciples, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. His coming is imminent. When He comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So let's look at that. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, please. It's not if, it's when. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Now, He's going to come. There's two comings of the Lord mentioned as far as He came the first time with that. But, I mean, since then, what we would call the rapture, where Jesus comes to catch up His saints. And then there is at His revelation when He comes with His saints. So this next time Jesus is going to come back to the earth is when He comes to take up His saints, those born again children of God, the saints of God. Then He's going to come back again with His saints and set up His kingdom on the earth, reign for 1,000 years, and then we move off into eternity. All right? But let's look here in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, everybody say, this same Jesus, okay, which is taken up from you into heaven. Now, how many of you believe Jesus went into heaven? Amen. Well, if we believe that, we've got to believe what's next then, right? So shall come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. He's coming back, all right? Now, look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I told Brother Cliff, I said, most of my sermon tonight is going to be just reading scripture. But that's all right. You know, these are good sermons.
Amen.
Sometimes I try to tell students, you know, quit trying to struggle. You're struggling over your sermon because you think you got to say something. Just let the Word of God speak for you sometimes. Amen. In fact, I had some of you around here would remember Cooper Beatty. Yeah. Cooper was he was already in full-time ministry when he came to Rhema, 1974. He was in the first class, and he stayed around there and taught for years. He's one of my instructors. But I know after I was on pastoral staff, and was the dean, Cooper was still around there, and he retired during my time as dean of school there, and he. I preached a sermon one night, and I just basically read scripture, and he came up to me, he said, that's probably one of the best sermons I ever heard. I said, well, I had good material, because all I did was read scripture about it, and I love Cooper. I mean, he had taught class for years. He's up into his eight, actually taught until his to his 90s there at Rhema, and every summer he'd sit in his office and go over his notes and update and study. And he was a great blessing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, he's not talking about asleep. He's talking about those who have died in Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many of you believe that? Well, you got to believe that to be saved, don't you? So, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, or go before. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, for the Christian, this coming of the Lord to receive his saints, this is not something that causes us to have fear. This is something that brings us comfort, glory to God. And we're not going to be, when that trumpet sounds, we shouldn't be startled. Okay? Now, brother, now our position tonight, and we're not going to try to prove when this is going to happen, all right? It's going to happen. It's not if, it's just when. And that's between God and Jesus right now, okay? We have to, somebody said like this, believe he's coming, live like he's coming back tomorrow and work for him like he's never coming back. You know, just keep on doing whatever God told you to do and just be ready. I like what one guy said, you know, he said, well, are you pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, or post-tribulation as far as when the rapture is going to take place? And he said, I'm a pan-tribulationist. And everybody kind of looked at him. He said, I just believe it's all going to pan out the way God planned it.
Amen.
Amen. He said, all I know is when I hear the trumpet toot, I'm going to scoot. That was his theology. All right. The statement of faith goes on to say, following the tribulation, he shall return to earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. And together with his saints, who shall be kings and priests, he shall reign 1,000 years. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Oh, brother, can we read the book of Revelation? Absolutely. The Bible says, he who reads the words of this prophecy shall be blessed. How many ready for a blessing? Okay. About ready to be blessed here. Now, I wouldn't suggest that you start a brand new Christian off in a study of the book of Revelation. I know some folks have tried that, and it just causes lots of confusion. Okay, so, well, where would you start? Well, maybe try the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all good, but John doesn't start with who begat who and who, you know, all that listing. So it kind of gets people into it right away. But here in Revelation 5, verse 10, he says there, talking about after he's come back, says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. It's already in context here of after he's come back. Look at chapter 20. Glory to God. I remember I had a friend, he used to sing, Jesus is coming back someday. Or somewhat, Jesus is coming back this way, could be any time or day. Jesus is coming, this I know. The Holy Spirit told me so, so praise the Lord. Shout hallelujah, amen, amen. We used to sing that song with youth, and they just like the shouting part, you know. But hallelujah, he's coming back. Verse 6, chapter 20. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Hallelujah. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. At the rapture, Christ returns for his saints. At his revelation, he comes with his saints. Now let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Praise the Lord. Yeah, again, these things are to bring comfort to us. Christian never worries about it. You know, Christian's not afraid of any type of death. Death does not make a Christian afraid. Amen. In fact, death is just a favor. Finally get rid of this body. This mortal body. Now, thank God we're redeemed, but we're going to get a different body someday. There's more of salvation yet to come. Aren't you glad? John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. So when we read, Jesus said that. Now, how many of you have a red letter? That's written red letters in your Bible. That's God, Jesus speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. Okay, Jesus, I'm not going to. Why? You believe in God? Yes, I do, sir. Believe also in me. Okay, I believe in you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, how many of you know he's gone? And prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Woo, glory to God. He's talking about physically in his presence now. We know he's in us and we're in him. It's a spiritual connection. But someday we're going to have that physical time one-on-one together. In the New Testament, the Bible talks about the believer is said to be waiting for the coming of the Lord. Let's look at a few scriptures. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord. Now, in saying that, we'll look at chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. You know, like we said, we live as if in life, we live a life that is, if he came, you know, like he's coming back tomorrow with that urgency, but we're working and we're planning. It doesn't mean, you know, well, Jesus is coming back soon. So, you know, some people got thought, you know, there's been all kinds of books written. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. I've got a good friend that used to be an instructor there at Rhema, and he was the head of the RMEI. He was the national director for the RM, the Ministerial Association and the Alumni Association. He said, "Would you people quit picking days? Because every time you pick a day, it has to be a different day. Because it says no man knows the day or the hour." Amen. How many of you were a Christian in 1988? Did you ever see the book 88 Reasons in 88? While Jesus is coming back, guy amended it the next year, 89 reasons in 89. I guess he could still be writing books. Yeah. Right? Now it's down to 18 reasons in 88, or in 18. But anyway, here, let's look at this in verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the true God, living in true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which has delivered us from the wrath to come. Glory to God. That's one of the reasons, you know, the Bible talks about the tribulation being the wrath. We're delivered from it. But he says to wait for him. See, we're waiting for his coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, Paul talked a lot in his writings about the coming of the Lord. Peter talked about the coming of the Lord. James, we're going to see, talked about the coming of the Lord. These New Testament writers, they talk like he was coming back any moment. They called the days they were living in the last days. Well, if those are the last days, these must be the last of the last days. Amen. Okay. And again, that brings us comfort, right? Amen. That doesn't make us afraid. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 1, 7. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I want to come to you. I want to, you know, I want to minister. I want to make a deposit into you. So why? That you come behind in no gift while you're waiting for the coming of the Lord. See, that tells me this. Paul expected the Corinthian church to be living in a lifestyle of waiting for the coming of the Lord. In other words, it was at the forefront of their thinking. Okay? Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord. So it wasn't if he's coming. Did you notice that? It's just when he's coming. And I think that's important. That's an important thing for us to be keeping in our thinking. James. 1 Peter's on the same page as this one I'm reading. Sorry. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman or the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Have you ever grown anything, planted anything? I grew up in farm country. I grew up in central Illinois. There's corn and soybeans and wheat fields everywhere. I mean, it's just flat ground, and it's good soil, very humid there. You can grow stuff very well in that part of the country. And so I grew up, my grandfather was a full-time farmer. My dad and his brother grew up farming, and then we had 400 acres that was family owned when our family, that when I was growing up, we farmed on a part-time basis, if you can do that, you know. We rolled in. So I've got that. But you know, there's a waiting time between planting time and harvest time. And you got to be patient. You know, you can't plant one week and go out there next week and expect there to be a harvest and dig it all up. If you dig it up, it's not going to come, is it? He says, the husband, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. Well, who's the husband? Who's the farmer here? That's God. God is waiting. Amen. For the pouring out of the early and the latter rain so the harvest is full. Jesus isn't coming back till the harvest is complete. Praise God. Amen. All right. Now, in the Lord's table, when we receive communion, the body and the blood, Jesus, there's a statement here in 1 Corinthians 11. Let's look at that. Concerning every time that you receive communion, every time that we partake of the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians 11, then we are to remind ourselves that Jesus is coming back. Look what it says here in verse 26. 11:26, 1 Corinthians. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Amen. Amen. See, that wafer represents his body broken for me. That juice represents his blood shed for me. See, he had to die in order for that to mean something to me. He died on our behalf. But yet, every time we do it, we got to remember he's coming again. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is coming again. And so the hope, that hope is confident expectation, anticipation with joy. It should bring us joy. I mean, most you talk about the Lord coming again, people do get a little excited. It automatically kind of, it's a joyous thing to think of. But it provides motivation for us. And the Word of God talks about some practical Christian living because we live a certain way because of Jesus coming back. Now, I want us to look at six things here that it does. Number one, it causes us to have brotherly love one for another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I don't know. I like the electronic Bibles. You know, you look up so many. But I still like turning to my pages in my Bible, and especially, do now I know. Sometimes though, it's I've preached in different places. I know there was a couple churches that I preached at in East Africa, where when we got there, I mean, we drove down a path. It wasn't a road; it was a path that people walked on. I mean, you had to roll the windows, and we're driving the windows down because it's hot. That's air conditioning, and there. Air conditioning means put the windows down, and drive as fast as you can. That's air conditioning. How many remember when that was air conditioning, right? Okay. Well, that's still some of that, the air conditioning's not working. So, but you got to roll the windows up or you're going to get slapped silly by the you know, the branches of the trees and everything. So you're rolling down there and you get there and they lead you over to this to this building that's got a thatch roof and mud walls and everything, and you get in there and there's no electricity. And if you want to read your Bible, you got to stand by the door, because you can't see it otherwise. You know, this is before they had flashlights on your phone and any of this that we were there. But now, you know, with an iPad or something, it just brightens everything up, you know, that kind of thing. But I still prefer turning to it if I can. Here in chapter 3, look at verse 12 and 13. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one to another, toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, that to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now notice that. Establish you. See, loving one another. Why? Why do we love one another? Because Jesus is coming back. You know, for one thing, I just think if I was God, and I'm not, again, I'm not God, I'd make a horrible God. But if I was God, if there happened to be a Christian you didn't get along with down on the earth, I'm going to make you, your mansions are right next to each other in heaven. I'm going to make you live right by them. That's not going to happen because that's not God. You don't understand that, but that would be kind of funny, wouldn't it? Brotherly love. Number two is holiness. Look at 1 John chapter 3. You know God has a sense of humor because the Bible says he laughs. He laughs. Whenever the devil says it's not going to work, he just laughs. Praise God. 1 John chapter 3, we'll read the first three verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Oh my goodness, that we could stop there and talk. What manner? What's the quality of that love? What's the quantity of that love? What are the characteristics? That's what he's asking. What are the characteristics of that love that God has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons or the children of God? Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now, everybody say now.
Now.
Now we are the sons or children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When he shall appear, he's coming back, see? And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Just think, I'm not out of fear. It's not because of fear, it's out of rejoicing. It's out of honor to him. When I know he's coming back, so it just keeps purifying me. Just keeps making me want to be more pure and more pure as I go. In my lifestyle, see, he's talking about. All right. Number three, knowing that he's coming back is a reason to keep coming to church. Hebrews chapter 10. We live in an age when going to church is not as thought of as much as it seems like as it used to be. And it's, we're busy. I understand we're busy, but you're never too busy to go to church. You know, maybe not seven nights a week, but you understand what I'm saying. For weeks on end. But, you know, there is an aspect of this here, I think, that we need. I found this out. I've been in pastoral ministry now since 1984, and this is a few years with that. So, I mean, basically since that. And you notice when people stop coming to church, their relationship with God has already started to deteriorate. That's just an outward sign that something's going on there, okay? And, as I said, one of the reasons that people quit coming to church is because people make a bad God. You can't look to people. You have to look to God. He's always good and faithful. But here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day of what? His coming back.
Amen.
That's the day he's talking about. So encourage one another. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. See you next week if he doesn't come before that. Right? I mean, encourage one another. Hey, you're going to be in church, aren't you? Unless Jesus comes back. I had a friend when I first got saved, bless his heart. This man had grown up Catholic, and he'd gotten saved and filled with the Spirit of God. And every time you'd see him, Brother Frank, Frank Campo, and he'd always say, "See you here, there, or in the air." That was always his thing. "I'm going to see you again, but it'll be here, there, maybe in the air on the way up." All right. Number four, it inspires us to serve God in the Christian service. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Are you doing okay? Amen. I like talking about Jesus is coming back. I like talking about all Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus fills with the Holy Ghost, Jesus is coming back again. Well, you preach on those four things, you don't have to preach on a whole lot of other. Amen. There's good news there. All right. Here in first, did I say first? 2 Timothy, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, good. Verse 1. "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing," there you go, "and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." See, preach the word. Preach the word. That was what Timothy was called to do. Well, whatever you're called to do, do it. Amen. See? Be instant in season. Whatever it is. Why? Because the Lord's appearing. The Lord's appearing in his kingdom. Glory to God. It's coming. All right. Number five, it gives us a passion for souls. What does that mean? We're going to tell others. A passion for souls. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Obviously, the book of 1 Thessalonians talks about this a lot, doesn't it? We've been dancing around. We've hit 4. We've hit 3. Now we're going to be in chapter 2. Now here, realize Paul had been the one whom God had used to go to Thessalonica and to preach first there, the gospel message. So these folks have accepted Christ because of the ministry, through the ministry of Paul, because God sent him there. Amen? And so he makes a statement here in verse number 19. We'll start there. He says, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" He says, Paul says, what's going to be our joy? What's our crown? What's going to cause us to rejoice? That you're present when the Lord comes back. Glory to God. Well, how are they going to be present? You got to win them to Christ. So he says, "For you are our glory and joy." Amen. Amen. In one of the visions that Brother Hagin had, Jesus showed him the crown, the soul winner's crown. And he said, "I've got one of these for every one of my children." It was a lavish, it was just beyond description. He said, "I've got one of these for every one of my children." And it will mean something, these crowns. Now, there's also a time, as Revelation talks about, when we're all going to take our crowns off and lay them at his feet. Because it's all about him anyway. But you're going to want one of those. Okay? That crown, glory to God. Finally, number six, it gives us a blessed hope. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We'll read, let's see, verse 13. You know, sometimes we just jump right in the midst of these, but doing it for time's sake. But here, he'd been talking about how the grace that brings salvation has appeared to everyone, teaching us how to live after we've received it. Verse 13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Blessed hope. Blessed hope. Hope is always future. So we're hoping. See, we have a confident expectation. Our hope is set on him that he's coming back. He said it, and so we can set our hope on it. See, I don't have to hope to be healed. I'm already healed because by his stripes I'm healed. I know I am. But I'm hoping, I've got my hope set on him coming back again. It's a blessed hope, too. It's not something that causes me any harm whatsoever. It always causes me to be blessed. Every time I think about Jesus coming back, I'm just blessed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's coming back. It's not going to be a bad thing. It's going to be a good thing. Amen. Now, I want us to go to Revelation chapter 22 and end with this tonight. Revelation chapter 22, last book of the Bible, last chapter of the Bible. And let's look what Jesus said here. We're going to read, start in verse 12 and read through the end of the chapter here. Jesus, the Lord himself, declared his coming in the final chapter of the New Testament. You know, how many of you know that last words are important a lot? You know, Paul gave the leaders at Ephesus, he gave them some last words. And Jesus told his disciples, his last words, go tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. In other words, don't even think about going out and doing what I told you about preaching the gospel until you get the power to do it. See, it was his last words. Okay? All right? So here's his last words to us, the saints of God, that are written for us. Now, it's not the last. He speaks to each one of us individually. He speaks to us corporately. But this is the last written words that he said to us. Verse 12, it said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and makes a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst say, come. Thirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Glory to God. For I testify, why? It's already paid for. Woo, man. Glory to God. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of his prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. See, just don't take this. Stay with the word. Hallelujah. He which testifies of these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's coming. And that ought to be our prayer, just like John. Even so, Lord, come quickly. If you're coming, come quickly, Lord. Not that we leave anybody out. Not that anybody gets left out of it. But Lord, let's do a quick work. I believe God's going to do a quick work in these days. There's going to be multitudes and multitudes of people that hear the gospel and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Things are lining up. Hallelujah for great, great revival taking place around the world. You know, people, now we're hearing about the, you know, if you read things in the news media and reports that how this religion is gaining ground in Christianity, but they're not getting reports from the, you know, the sector of the body of Christ that's out there evangelizing. They're getting reports from, you know, churches that have been preaching the word and how they're, you know, they're shutting down and all that. But churches, there's churches popping up all over the world. Glory to God. Preaching the God. What are they preaching? Jesus saves. Amen. Jesus heals. Jesus fills with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is coming back again. Amen. They're preaching those things. And those kind of, there's people all over the world that are coming into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. And so, what shall we say? Our future is bright. I mean, I don't care what we're going through now. It's gonna get better. It's got to get better, because there's no we're going to heaven. Glory to God. And Jesus is coming back, so we don't have anything. I don't have anything to fear. Amen. You know, I think about that sometimes. I've gotten to some pretty, you know, what you might call scary places around the world, and sometimes you wonder, is this it, Lord? You know, is this it? But, you know, you're claiming protection. You know, you got angels and they're helping you out. But, you know, you have to go with the idea of, well, if it is, that's all right. You did me a favor, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But, and if someone who sleeps in God, in Christ, when he comes back, when that trumpet, their body's going to rise up first, and then we which are alive and remain. Notice how Paul wrote that. He included himself. He expected to be alive and remain. You know, that tells me this. I don't care who you are. You don't know everything. But Paul wasn't lying. He wasn't lying. It's going to happen. He just happened to move over from the category of we which are alive to those who are absent and from the body and present with the Lord. Amen. He's going to have to meet his body. And if Jesus comes back during our lifetime, you know, I heard somebody say this. If you really think about it, there's no permanent anything. Everybody is in transition. Amen. Everybody's in transition. Eventually, there's going to be a transition take place. Amen. So we're prepared for it. Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. But until he comes, he's left his grace. That's why he said that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What does that mean? He's already taken care of everything else. He's taken care of, what's he done? He's left healing for our body. He's left soundness for our mind. Glory to God. He's left all of our needs being met according to his riches and glory by Christ while we're still here on the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got a few folks here that got prayer claws. We're going to minister to these right now. Hallelujah. Here's somebody that needs healing over their whole body. Amen. All right. Here's someone's got a bad cold and chest and head. This is a 2-year-old here. Here's a 1-year-old. Praise the Lord. Having bad headaches. 11 years old. I'm sorry. Having bad headaches. One of your grandchildren. Well, I didn't say anything here that's greater than the name of Jesus, did we? Amen. At that name, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father. You say, well, why do we have a cloth here? Well, it appears throughout in the New Testament. There's a couple places. One place, multitudes sought to touch Jesus, his garments, because from his garment went healing into them, and they were healed. Another place, a woman with the issue of blood said, "If I can touch his garment," I think she'd heard it. In fact, in one of the Gospels, it's actually she did that after that other account. I think she really heard about it happen. She said, "Well, if I could just touch him, I'd be healed." She touched it, and that healing power went out of him. And then in the book of Acts, same church you and I are part of, same Holy Spirit that was in you, from his body, handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from his body, cloth, and they're laid upon the sick and the diseased. Said they departed. If they had any evil spirits, they departed too. It seems that healing anointing will reside in cloth. You say, well, why? Well, that's what the Bible, it's what the Bible says. And we've got testimony after testimony after testimony. You know, and you might think, we've got a guy over at Raymond Bible Church. He's a Raymond graduate. We call him the Hanky Man because he's at, especially me, he dances around. He's got all these claws on him. He just told me the other day, he said, "I just got a report." He said, "I send these claws. I sent one to," there was a guy, they requested one for a man who was bedfast in the Philippines on his deathbed. The doctor's giving him up to die. He said they put one of these claws with him, and now he's raised up from the deathbed, totally healed, totally whole. Amen? Well, that's what we're believing for these folks. So stretch your hands this way. Let's believe God again. Father, we thank you for your healing power, for this healing over the whole body. From the top of their head to the soles of their feet, whatever it is, that life of God, the power of God, the anointing of God, drive that sickness and disease out in the name of Jesus. This headache for this grandson, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over this headache. The healing power of God, the life of God, to work, effect a healing and a cure in this young man's head. Whatever the cause, it has to go in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. And this granddaughter with this bad cold and chest cold and head. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. And this cloth is laid upon her. That healing power will drive out that cold and clear up that chest and clear up that head, Father. We just thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need healing in here tonight, just raise your hand. Raise your hand right where you are. Just raise it up. If you need healing, just signify, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over any sickness, any disease in this place. I speak the words of life. 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 Everyone say this. The life of God is in me. Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. The life of God drives out all sickness, all disease, all pain, all weakness from my body. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And he's making alive this body of mine. I'm healed. I'm whole because of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, I receive it In Jesus' name, I am healed. Now just begin to rejoice. Everybody just rejoice. Hallelujah. 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 Now see, one way to receive healing is through claws. One way is through the laying on of hands. But one way is just to say it. Like you're speaking to the mountain. Receive it yourself. See, you can always say it yourself. You may not always have someone to lay. Well, you're a believer. You can lay hands on your sick, I guess. On yourself, I guess, if you're sick. But you can always. Because that life is always in you if you're a child of God. It never goes. It's always in you. But like Paul told Timothy, stir it up. Stir up that gift. Stir up that gift. How you do it? With your words. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm glad I came down. Like Brother Hagin, you said, I don't know if I helped you, but I preached myself happy. Amen. I was just listening to him on the way over here and listening to a CD, and I said, I don't know if I've helped you, but I just done preached myself happy. I don't know about you, but I feel the same way tonight. Praise God. Praise God. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you're here tonight and you've got maybe some things going on and you want somebody to agree with you in prayer, or you're here tonight and you've accepted Jesus, but we talked about being full of the Spirit, that power from on high, and you've not received that experience, not a church creed or doctrine, but a Bible. The Bible says they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you want to receive that tonight, Glenn and Heather are going to come up here, be right over here. Anything, any one of those things, you've never accepted Jesus, or you have, or you've got some things going on and you need prayer for anything, or you want to, maybe you've walked away and you need to rededicate, you're here tonight, or you want to receive that precious infilling of the Holy Spirit, the way the Bible talks about it, you can come to them as soon as we dismiss here, and they will minister to you. And I think we had someone here for the very first time. Our connection team was, hey, so glad to have you tonight. Praise the Lord. We do have. We want you to go. We're going to have you go with our dear sister and receive a gift from Pastor from the Hagin pastors, Pastor and Mrs. And then their son Craig, who are here most of the time. But on behalf of Rhema Bible Church, Oklahoma City, and them, we're so glad you're with us tonight. Don't make this your last time if you could possibly be here. Be here. Get to know some folks. These are fun folks to get to know around here, all right? They're faith folks. It's good to have a family, people you can get together with and say, hey, let's believe God together. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right? You can go ahead. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Before you leave tonight, tell somebody, my Jesus is coming back again. You can be dismissed. Amen.